Episode 14.
Hello and welcome to the Megan Dredge podcast. Megan Dredge, yes, that's me, and I am super passionate about helping you to become an even better educator. I believe in teachers and I believe in education, the best profession in the world, the profession that teaches all others. It doesn't matter whether you've been teaching for decades or if you're a brand new teacher, there's always something we can all do to improve our practice.
Today we're going to talk about how to mentor a new teacher. I'm really excited about today's podcast because I feel like in my journey as a teacher, I've been on both sides of the equation, if you will. I remember what it was like to be a beginning teacher. I remember feeling those early years of being overwhelmed and challenged and wanting to make a great impression, but feeling like I couldn't keep up. And now in hindsight, as the opportunity has been given to me to mentor new teachers, I feel like I now have this amazing experience as a mentor. And today I want to share with you 10 ways that you can mentor a new teacher, that the role that you're in, whether you are an incredibly experienced teacher or whether you're only just a few years ahead of the teacher that you're mentoring, today is going to be really helpful for you. Today is also going to be really helpful for you if you don't even have an official mentor role. Perhaps you are working alongside someone and you're a little bit ahead of them. Perhaps you're on a team of people and you've got one or two or even more beginning teachers on your team. And you as a more experienced teacher, whether that's 2 years more experience or 22 years more experience, there's lots of things. And today I'm going to share 10 of them with you that you can do to really mentor that new teacher. And so I just want to start out by reminding us all that the early years of teaching can be incredibly challenging. And I want to encourage you to go back to your first day of teaching, your first term of teaching. And just, if you will, try and remember what that was like. Try and remember how you felt on that day and that sense of excitement and enthusiasm and perhaps that sense of fear and trepidation of what was going to happen. How is this all going to pan out? You know, there's so much research around at the moment, and this research is indicating that an increasing amount of teachers are actually leaving the profession within the first 5 years. And for those of us in Australia, where I am, this applies equally to us. In fact, the most recent research that I have read indicates that up to 50% or even up to 60% of new teachers are leaving within the first 5 years. And I really believe that there are two key things that are helping teachers to remain in the profession. And I think it's these two things. Firstly, I think it's professional development. And secondly, it's mentoring and support. And I think a combination of those two things can be incredibly powerful. I have found that new teachers really benefit from having a good mentor who can help them and who can encourage them in their teaching journey. And if you think about the word mentor, mentor was a man who was carefully looked after by Telemachus when his dad Odysseus actually went away to war. And so Telemachus was the one who actually looked after, mentor, the son. And I just love the fact that is how we now have this amazing word in our language, that it came from this story of this man who looked after a young boy while his father went away to war. And in the same way, this is how new teachers are supported, not because there's someone's gone away to war, although perhaps it feels like that sometimes, but the idea of someone intentionally looking after someone else and training them and encouraging them and developing them in the early years of their career. That really, really excites me. So today, whether or not you have a formal mentor role or you are working alongside beginning teachers, I encourage you to take these 10 things today and use them in your very next interaction with a beginning teacher. So let's get right into it. Number one, be available. here's what you need to do. You need to have an open door policy. The teacher that you're mentoring or the teacher that you're working alongside needs to feel that you are approachable. Sometimes they will not want to ask for advice. Sometimes they feel like it's a sign of weakness to ask for advice. And it's only when you've had experience that you realize, at least in my opinion, that those that ask advice are the ones who are seeking to grow, are the ones that are seeking wisdom. But have an open door policy. Be another teacher, be that mentor teacher, that beginning teacher can knock on the door or tap on the desk and say, hey, can you help me out with this? Really make it easy for them to ask questions and create that open door policy, create that place where a conversation about something that they're going through as a teacher is really natural and it's something that they can do easily with you. Number two, meet regularly. Now, this applies, I guess, more to those who are in a formal mentor relationship. And I really believe it's the responsibility of the mentor to initiate these meetings. Some people say, well, you know, the beginning teacher should come to me if they need help. But here's the thing. Here's what I know. In all my work with beginning teachers, I know that mostly they don't want to bother their mentor teacher. They see their mentor teacher as someone who's got more responsibility and more things they're trying to achieve. And sometimes they can just feel that they're a bit of a pain. So I always encourage mentor teachers to be the one who initiates that meeting and to try and do it in a friendly, relational way so that that mentee feels like they can just chat to you and they can come into that meeting with a sense of expectation that it's going to be helpful for them. So whether it's just over lunch or whether it's a regular time that you're going to catch up, that you make, I encourage you to make it regular. That means that both of you can prepare for that time, that you both are thinking about that upcoming meeting, however you schedule it to happen. And it means that that new teacher can be prepared in the sense that they can think, oh, I really struggled with that particular situation, or I struggled talking to that parent, or I wasn't quite sure how to behave in that meeting. They're thinking, oh, when I meet with my mentor next week, I can ask them about that. So having a regular place, whether you do it in an informal or formal way, but having a regular time and place, I think's super helpful. Number three, listen. Listen to what the new teacher is saying. And I mean, really listen. Read between the lines, as the saying goes. What are they really saying? What are they really asking? What are they really wanting to know? What is the question that they want to ask you but aren't quite sure how to phrase it? Really listen to what the new teacher is saying. And I encourage you, don't be too quick to jump in with your solution, with your five-step strategy on how to fix that. Take the time to listen and understand to the teacher and let that new teacher talk, because often, and you will have had this experience yourself, often talking through an issue can be more than half the issue solved. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're talking to someone and you're explaining the issue and you're explaining your feelings around it and you're explaining your experiences or perhaps your failures with trying to deal it before. And in the process of telling someone else about it, it's almost like the solution starts to become clear for you. So be encouraged in the sense that don't feel like you always have to have the answers. So on the one hand, I'm saying don't jump in too quick with all the answers. And on the other hand, be released of feeling like you have to have all the answers for your new teacher that you're mentoring. Sometimes it's just they're explaining to you and they're having a listening ear, which is yours. That can be the thing that can actually catapult them into solving the problem for themselves. Number four, encourage. We all thrive on encouragement, don't we? We all love it when someone takes the time not to just pump us up, not to just say, oh, that was great, but to really encourage, to really put courage into us. Being a new teacher, they are feeling challenged. They're feeling like they're a bit overwhelmed and they're not quite sure what to do. And sometimes all they need is just someone to encourage them, someone to say, hey, you're doing a great job. Someone to notice the little thing that they did in their classroom. Someone to notice the little bit of extra effort that they put in for assembly or writing their reports or dealing with a tricky parent. Just just find something to encourage that new teacher for. And again, it doesn't have to be in a formal relationship. You might be listening to this and you're an experienced teacher yourself, and you know of someone in your school who's only been teaching 1 or 2 or 3 years. Be that encouragement to them. Be that teacher, that more experienced teacher that says, hey, I really noticed how you did a great effort with that presentation, or how you presented to the staff, or how you did this in your classroom. Be that teacher, that experienced teacher that's encouraging, that's putting courage in to the beginning teacher. Number 5, give feedback. Beginning teachers need feedback. They need to know how they're going. And the most important part in this process is how you actually go about it. You need to be kind and gentle. And I believe that feedback can be both positive and constructive. And I like to refer to the feedback sandwich, and I'll include a link in the show notes to this. But basically the idea of the feedback sandwich is, if you imagine a sandwich, you've got 2 pieces of bread and the filling in between. So when you're giving feedback to your beginning teacher, to the new teacher, you want to start off with the first piece of bread, which is something positive. And then you get into the meat of the sandwich, which is the constructive part, the part where you're going to help them become better at what they're already doing, the constructive part. And then you want to finish with the final piece of bread, which is again going to be something positive. So don't shy away from giving feedback to the teacher. Tell them where they went really well. Give them some strategies for improvement. And if you're finding that you need to give some feedback that's a bit tricky, I encourage you to, I'll actually include a link to this as well. I encourage you to go and look at my steps for having a difficult conversation. And I've actually itemized there for you what you can do to have a tricky conversation, to have that conversation with the teacher that is a little bit confronting, that is a little bit constructive, where you've got to be a little bit brutally honest, loving them in the process. But I encourage you, I'll include the link there. You can go and actually break it down on how to have that difficult conversation. Number 6, share resources. I just can't tell you how helpful it was as I reflect on my own experience as a beginning teacher. Those teachers that would come alongside me and say, hey, here's something you might find useful with your class, or here's something you might find useful when you're teaching this particular topic. I remember going to a beginning teacher when I was teaching a new topic to my grades 2 class, and I just wasn't quite sure how to do it. And so I went to this experienced teacher and said, hey, I've got to do this lesson next. What do you think? And she gave me she'd been teaching forever, and she gave me the most simple idea. And I have used that strategy so many times since in teaching similar topic areas. And it was just that one little piece of advice from someone who'd done it so many more times than me that helped me. And it gave me that sense of confidence as a new teacher. So share your resources, share your thought leadership, share your intellectual property, the things that you've figured out in your mind, those resources. Share your practical resources. Share the booklets that you've put together, the photocopying sheets that you've put together, the homework strategies and assignments that you've developed. Share those resources with the new teacher and give them a hand up. Help them to get started and feel confident and find their feet. Number 7, give practical help. Sometimes a new teacher will just need practical help. They'll need help if they're a primary teacher, an elementary teacher. They might just need help with getting a display up on the wall. If they're a science teacher, they might need help with just setting up for that next experiment or packing down from that experiment. If they're a language teacher or a creative arts teacher, they might just need some help with setting up some stuff. Perhaps you could just give them 20 minutes to help with the photocopying or help organize the tests and exams that they've got to mark. They just might need a little bit of practical help. As I've mentioned several times already in this podcast, new teachers can feel overwhelmed. I'll include a link in the show notes to my post on how to overcome overwhelm. But we all go through this, whether we're new or not, but particularly new teachers can feel overwhelmed. And sometimes your few minutes of practical assistance can really make all the difference. And you just say to them, hey, after school today, I'm going to give you 15, 20 minutes. Just let me come and help you with some of the stuff in your classroom or some of the stuff on your desk or some of your marking. Just give them a little bit of practical help and help them to go home feeling like they've really accomplished something great. Number 8, introduce them to others. No, the new teacher is the new kid on the block. They're the new teacher in the school. They're the ones trying to figure it all out. They probably don't know many parents. They probably don't know all the staff, and they certainly don't know them as well as you do as the more experienced teacher in most situations anyway. So helping the new teacher to form professional relationships is a really important role that you play as their mentor teacher. So introducing them to other staff members, introducing them to the administrative staff or the canteen managers or the parents and citizens people, the people in the community, whoever it is, you actually play a really important role in helping them to build a professional network. And it doesn't have to be a really big thing. It can just simply be as the opportunity arises that you say to the new teacher, oh, this is so-and-so, or this is this particular parent, or this is the person that heads up this particular department, and just introduce them and help them to start forming their professional network. Number 9, be a good example. We all want someone to follow, and I want to encourage you as an experienced teacher, whether, as I've said, you're 2 years more experienced or 22 years more experienced, be a great example. Be a great example in your attitude. Be a great example in your willingness to try new things. Be a great example in the way that you speak about other staff members and about parents. Be a great example in your diligence with your lesson planning and your curriculum development, and be, in general, be an example that your new teacher would want to emulate. And there's a quote that talks about the power of example, and it says, example isn't one of the things influencing others. It says example is the only thing influencing others. And so as that mentor teacher, be a great example. It's not about being perfect. In fact, illustrating and exemplifying to them how you learn from a mistake is just as important as doing the right thing or getting it right, if you like, in the first place. So this isn't about getting it right and being perfect. This is about being a great example. And number 10, our final strategy for mentoring a new teacher is this: learn. Great teachers are always learning. As a mentor teacher, learn from your mentee teacher. Learn from that teacher that you are mentoring. Be inspired by their inspiration. Be enthused by their enthusiasm. Increase your passion because of their passion. Learn from them. Perhaps they've got more skills in technology than you. Perhaps they're more up to date with particular subject matter than you because they've just had some new thing from university. Perhaps they're more in touch with something than you. And this is all totally possible, even for them as a beginning teacher. They will have expertise in areas that you don't. So learn from them. And this really follows on from being a great example, because great teachers are constantly learning. They're growing professionally and personally. They're becoming a better teacher. They're using their craft and developing their craft all the time. So learn from the person that you're mentoring. Be observant. Notice how they do things. Listen to what they're saying and what they're learning. Learn from them and let them teach you. And be sure to acknowledge your learning. So say to your mentee teacher, you know what? That was so helpful when you talked to me about that issue. It really helped me in my own classroom or leading my own team of people. So thank you so much. Because when you communicate to that new teacher that you've learned something from them, you are instilling a huge portion of courage into them, and you're showing them that not only are you experienced, but you're still learning new things, and you are encouraging them, and they will want to become an even better educator because they feel like they've been able to teach you something. So they are the 10 ways that I believe you can mentor a new teacher. Let me just quickly go through them again for you. Number 1, be available. Number 2, meet regularly. Number 3, listen. Number 4, encourage. Number 5, give feedback. Number six, share resources. Number seven, give practical help. Number eight, introduce them to others. Number nine, be a good example. And number 10, learn. Well, that brings our podcast for this week to a close. I'm really excited. Next week's episode is going to be all about how to get along with your boss. Yes, how to get along with your boss. I've worked with a whole bunch of different kinds of bosses over the years, both in my full-time roles in several schools and also in my numerous casual teaching roles in more than one state in Australia. And I have had every kind of boss you can think of. And so I'm really excited. Next week's topic, how to get along with your boss. I'm going to give you some strategies. No matter what kind of boss you have, I'm going to help you to get along with them. So tune in for that next week. I'd love you to go to iTunes. You can subscribe to this podcast there, and I'd love you to rate the show. It just helps incredibly in getting the word out. So that would be so cool if you could do that. And you'll be able to access the show notes for this episode, which will include all the links that I've mentioned today. Well, as I always say, enjoy the journey, and more importantly, enjoy the moments. See you next time.